Hello, fellow doers and changemakers. My name is Monica, and I'd like to warmly welcome you to ISCA's podcast. We have recorded the following interview in the Integration of Refugees Through Sport project, which is funded by European Commission's Erasmus Plus Sport program. The project aims to empower people that are working or volunteering in integration of refugees through sport roles by offering in-person and online opportunities to meet, learn, gain recognition for the initiatives and projects, as well as connect with different organizations, associations, and clubs that are working with the same target group. You can find more information and resources on irts.isca.org website, and we actually have quite a few online courses on the topic of integration of refugees through sport, which you can find at learn.isca.org, and they are for free. So today's interview is actually part of this online learning course, in which one we're sharing good examples and practices from various organizations, clubs, and associations throughout the Europe. And today I'm hosting Dora from Ola Talom Sport Association from Hungary. Let's hear what she has to say about her project. So I'd like to ask you just to briefly introduce yourself to our listeners and maybe share what is your motivation to work with the target group that you're working.
So my name is Dora Gottgeis. I live in Budapest, Hungary. And my motivation to work with the target group, which we mean migrants and refugees, is that during my social work studies, I used to work in a daycare for migrants and refugees, where the children were between the age of 0 and 3. And they mainly came from Nigeria, Sudan, and Ethiopia. And on the another motivation is my family history, is that my grandparents from my father's side, from Slovakia and from Romania, and they came to Hungary after the Second World War, and they were considered to be migrants, and in the case of my grandfather, a refugee. And on my mother's side, actually, she doesn't really have any relatives besides us, close or distant, in Hungary, due to the persecution Jews, Roma people, and other minority groups had to face during the Second World War. So for us, having different cultural backgrounds, different religions, having cousins speaking different languages was a kind of a reality while growing up. And cultural differences were always seen as some kind of added value to the family. So that's what has driven me towards working with people from different background.
Thank you. It seems that it's actually our background influences a lot because you have the experience, so you know how people feel in the situation, at least to a certain extent, right? And what is the organization you're working for, and what is the main focus? What do you do in the organization?
Okay, so my organization is Ola Talom Sport Association, which is based in Budapest, Hungary, and we are a sport for development organization, and our mission is to offer a possibility to everyone to feel that they are a valuable part of the society. And through sport-related activities, we try to develop their skills in a way that they will be able to lead a successful life on their own. And we work mainly with marginalized groups, including Roma, migrants and refugees, and other groups, other minority groups residing in Hungary. Our core activity is the regular football trainings, which are open to everyone, regardless age, gender, socioeconomic background, or familial background. And we try to offer a sense of stability and regularity to everyone, especially for those who lack this stability and regularity from their life due to different kind of reasons. And through the regular football trainings, we try to engage them into further activities. That's why at the trainings, we have a coach and a social worker together. And while the coach is focusing on their physical well-being, the social worker is focusing on their mental well-being. And besides the regular football trainings, we have the social work activities we can offer them, individual or on an individual or group level. We are going to national and international tournaments, which is kind of a motivation for the players to come regularly on the training to the training and commit to something. And also we have employability activities, which includes English classes, Hungarian tutoring, and also job coaching, job counseling, and some kind of soft and hard skill development workshops. And also we offer for our female players, kind of a girls club. This is the name of the activity, which is a safe place for girls where we can discuss female related topics. We don't go into really deep details because we are not trained to provide psychological support. But if we notice that some of our players were experienced trauma or adversities, we can refer them to further experts. But we try to engage them in a way that they are able to share and start to start the processing process. I don't know.
I guess it would be like therapy or processing the trauma and get further help, I would assume. Yeah? Yes.
And which our flagship activity is a so-called Fair Play Football Roadshow, which is an initiative started by the organization where we use the methodology of Football 3, which is actually it's a social skill development in a in gamification. And with this Fair Play Football Roadshow, we try to bring together different groups from the society who usually in everyday life, they don't engage into conversation, or if they engage, it's usually with a negative attitude. And in this safe place, which is the football pitch in this case, we try to encourage them to start a conversation, which conversation hopefully from the pitch will transfer to their everyday life, and they can see each other from different perspective, from different angles.
Thank you very much. It seems you're doing a lot of like other things as well, so it's not just sports, but you're trying to have a more holistic approach to things, so that it's not only doing sports for the physical well-being but also social and well, also the employability project seems very interesting. So are you collaborating with any other organizations, stakeholders in the community with your activities? I'm curious if you do, and which are those?
Okay, so on the national level, it has to be mentioned that being a civil society organization or an NGO, it's not an easy task due to the current political environment we have, and especially those NGOs who are working with migrants and refugees or marginalized people. They are struggling to survive, not only on a financial level, because we are surviving from donations, from grant proposals, but also in a level that all the aims we are working for are compromised within the society we are living in. But it's nice to say that still we can start and we can create some kind of cooperation, especially with the other NGOs who are working with migrants and refugees. And so mainly we cooperate with other representatives of the civil society, for example, Artemisio Foundation, Menedék, Hungarian Association for Migrants, or Subjective Values Foundation. They are also focusing on the social inclusion of migrants and refugees from different, and they are focusing on different aspects of their lives. And on the municipality level, there are some kind of cooperations that has been started in the last year, especially. But they are not not our main partners. And but on the international level, we have a wider partnership. We have been partners of the or members of the Street Football World Network since 2009, which organization, this is an umbrella organization, and currently they are in a transition from being Street Football World to being Common Goal, which is basically they change the name and a little bit of their working method. And they try to collect, try to gather a lot of organization from all over the world. So they have something like 190 member organizations, and mainly organizations from Europe we are working with, and sometimes they have the same target group, working with migrants and refugees. Some of them, they are not specifically focusing on migrants and refugees, but using football as a tool for social inclusion or skill development. And but in every case, they are working marginalized or sensitive target groups.
Yes, some of them are very familiar, actually, also with the other projects related to the migrants and refugees. So yes, it's glad. I'm happy to hear these names are popping, and there's more people working on it. Yes, I'd like to ask you now a bit more about the Score for Respect project. So could you share a bit more what it is and where did you get the idea for it?
Because before there was the call called HEPA. For that call, one of my former colleagues sent an application, which was and we received a positive feedback, so we could start that program, and it was, I think, in 2016. And then when they opened the call again, we applied because it was a very successful program, and that was the time when a great influx of refugees arrived to Hungary in 2015, and many of them stayed. So there was a platform to work with them and to start something in the field of their social inclusion. So we sought to continue to apply for this grant, and also in 2018 we applied for it, and also 2019. So that's why, and this is the Score for Respect program. And basically, in the framework of this program, we try to continue our regular programs, such as the regular football trainings, the Fair Play Football Roadshows, the employability services, just with a little bit of shifting the focus to the inclusion of the migrants and refugees. And in parallel, focusing on the sensitization of the whole society, because we believe that in order to have a successful social inclusion, it's necessary, it's a must to sensitize the whole society, because they also have to give up something from their life in order to take in the newcomers, and that's why it's we believe it's equally important.
So what are the activities that you're actually doing in the project, if you can give us a brief description of them?
Okay, so the program allowed us to continue the regular football trainings, to continue the organization of Fair Play Football Roadshows all around the country, not only in Budapest. We continue our employability services. We organize employability workshops for our players. Also, we planned a girls' club, especially for the refugee women, or females who very rarely but come to our trainings. We designed an appreciative inquiry workshop, and also an anti-corruption workshop for youngsters.
I want to dig in all of them. I want to ask you more about all of them. Yes.
For the social worker in a former program, we created a social work toolkit, a trauma-based social work toolkit. In the framework of this program, we would like to complete it with new experiences building on what we have done before and what are the do's and don'ts. So we are going to, like a second or a third edition. We will complete.
Yes. So could you tell us more about the employability project of, or let's say the employability activities that you do with the refugees and migrants?
So the employability programs we offer for migrants and refugees is basically the same what we offer for the non-migrants and the refugees. I'm just telling this because since we aim to foster the inclusion, all of our activities are open to the migrants and non-migrants as well, because we believe that personal experiences, personal first-hand experiences are the best if we want to achieve some kind of social inclusion. We have like regular activities such as the English classes we offer for the players, also the Hungarian tutoring, which is offered for the mainly for the refugee players in order to make them to help them with the Hungarian language so they can thrive, or they can be successful in the Hungarian educational system because they need the language. And on the other hand, we used to have before the COVID thematic workshops where we were, you know, preparing them how to write a CV, how to prepare for a job interview, and also because the shift, because the focus had been shifted, and it's not. Before the COVID, again, it wasn't very hard to find a job, but it was more different. We were developing their skills, which were needed in order to, you know, to stick into the job and not lose in 2-3 weeks. And in these workshops, we had situational games. We had skill developmental activities. We did mock interviews. Also, we did some kind of activity to how to very basic thing, how to dress for the workshop, how to enter, how to arrive, what to say, how to shake hands. So very, very practical things. And on the other hand, if we got to know that one of our players is looking for a job or something, we could sit down with them. It was kind of a one-on-one job counseling and have them how to use the job searching websites, how to write the CV, how to call for an appointment, how to answer to the emails, how to write a cover letter. So more like hard skill development.
It sounds actually very useful and practical, which is probably what they also need at some point when they want to enter the job market. Are you also cooperating with maybe some companies or like employers, like connecting and matching maybe in some ways?
We were invited to a program which was run by FedEx, FedEx Express, and was coordinated by Street Football World and UEFA Foundation for Children. And in that program, our players participated in mock interviews as well. So volunteers from FedEx, they prepared it was an online online interview, and they also gave feedback for the players. But we would like to do this also in Hungary, and some kind of negotiations have been started. But I'm trying to say all the time, but COVID somehow put a stop on it. But we are in the process of restart these kind of cooperations.
I think we all struggle with this COVID and having some sort of a pause of all the activities and projects that we do. Thank you very much for sharing. I was wondering, so you actually mentioned that the participants of your activities are locals as well as migrants and refugees. So basically, well, all the people are welcome. And I'm wondering, are they also involved in, your participants, are they involved in deciding what kind of activities they want or like creating the activities? Do you also give some space for that, where they can also be part of the decision-making process on what they would like?
We have a young leader program, and we try to involve them in the decision-making program planning. But I have to say that basically they like to play football. That's why they come. And it's very hard to involve them in any kind of activities which don't involve a ball. We are always trying to find a way how to involve them more into activities which don't involve the ball, and also to involve them in the decision making or program planning phase of the activities. And now this is a kind of a new direction for us. And one example I can say that since we have since last year or the beginning of COVID, we started an online workout, and we also invited our players to deliver the online workouts, and it worked quite well. So
yes, I think it's very fine if you share the challenges as well, because I think you're probably not the only one having challenge with involving them more also in other activities apart from the sporty one. You also already answered my questions if it's easy to involve them in the project activities. So I'm guessing the answer is yes to the sporty ones, but maybe to the other ones, no. So how do you see that? So is it easy to involve the target groups that you're working with? How do you get them? How do you attract them?
since so when we are going to an international tournament, usually we have to select a certain number of players who can go, and we have criteria for the selection. And one of the criteria is obviously attending the regular football trainings, and the others can be attending the other related activities, such as employability workshops, for example. And if we see that they are committed to those activities as well, actually not to the activities, but to the goals they set to themselves, then it can be another criteria for being part of the team, which goes to an international tournament. And this can be a motivational factor for them if we say that we will welcome everyone who come to the activities. But you know, I have to tell you, it's also like, okay, we advertise the activity, and then they say, okay, we will come. But usually they come, you just need to make some more phone calls. That, okay, guys, do you remember that next weekend we are going to have this, or we are going to have that workshop? And, you know, they need some kind of reminder to come. But because, you know, if you're, let's say, a 15-year-old boy and I don't know, you like to play football, but maybe you don't want to sit in a workshop during your weekend because you have the school during the whole week. But if you know that your friends are going to come as well to the workshop, or you know that the coach will be also there, then this is something else. But you just need to remind them. But it's not specifically for the migrants and refugees. I think it's for all the kids or all the young people who like to play football and or any other sport. And that's why they join basically the organization.
Yeah, it's easier when there's others, because then you can connect with friends as well while you're actually doing something good for yourself, either sporty or having a workshop.
If I can add this just for the employability thing, is that, for example, I mentioned this young leader program, and sometimes we ask them to do extra stuff during the trainings, like, I don't know, doing the warming up or leading the stretching. So this is also related to the employability activities that they have a task they are responsible for, and they have to execute it from point zero until the end. So this is also part of the employability program, but not very, you know, it's like a hidden.
Yeah. You kind of give them some responsibilities, some small ones, and fun as well. But actually, in the long run, it has some sort of a goal of like, okay, you can actually become a leader one day. Like, yeah, even though it's baby steps, right? I'm curious, what other challenges did you face? What challenges are you facing during the execution of these activities and projects? And how do you actually tackle them? Those challenges.
Okay, so about the challenges, I'm gonna start with the most obvious challenge we have been facing basically since the beginning of the scoring for the Score for Respect program, which is the COVID, because from March 2020 we had to transfer from the activities from the online from the in-person space to online space, and since we are working with the sensitive and marginalized target group, they didn't always had all the technical equipment to be part of it. And we started with baby steps. First, we transferred our regular football trainings to the online space. And we had online workouts at the beginning, 4 times a week and then 6 times a week. So we could offer a place again to meet, and which is very important for those people who lack the regularity and stability in their life, from their life. So this was, and we were also afraid how to reach them, because you know they come to the trainings, but once they don't have the equipment, we can't reach them. So what's going to happen to them? So this was a very, very big challenge I believe many of the organizations had to face. Then besides COVID, another challenge is the language barriers, since we have players from many different countries and they don't always speak Hungarian, and sometimes also not even English. So we have to find a common language, but usually there is always one or two kids who can speak either Hungarian or English or the language, or they have a common language, so they can do the translating between the coach, social worker and the other kids. And usually it works quite well, and also the coaches and social workers and the other kids are learning new languages. So we encourage them to find jobs, especially if they are finished with their studies. But once they have jobs, sometimes they can't come to the trainings because it the working hours and the training hours overlap. So there are dropouts also from the program. There are also occasions when they drop out, they come back, but you know, it's always hard to plan on the long term if you know that they will, I don't know, disappear sometimes. And it's also sometimes not because they are working, it's like they are not used to commit to some, not used to committing to something because of their familiar background, because of their experiences from the past. So we always think about like setting up short-term goals, which are easier to commit to. I'm sure there are a lot of and another challenge is on the organizational level is how to pay the salaries. What if there will be no new grant proposals? What if they don't accept our proposals? So it's this is on a, I won't say on a daily basis, but from time to time we have to think about that. Another challenge, I think, the involvement of the girls, because here, especially here in Hungary, football is a very male-related sport, but we very much like girls to come to play because it's also a kind of sensitization, and we do have female players, less than the male players. But this is another challenge, how to engage them, and once we engage them, how to make them stay in the program. And this is the same with the female refugee players, because they besides all the challenges girls can face coming to a sport activity, they have an extra or an added challenge because in, you know, coming from countries where playing sport with boys or playing sport at all as a girl, not common. So we also have to face these kind of challenges that we have to.
See how you can actually work with it, right? Like, and try to somehow change the mind in a way.
Like, yes, so not only for the girls but also the family's mind.
Yes.
So basically, as you said before, we have a holistic approach, and we, even though the children and the youngsters are our clients, if I speak in a social work level, we have to work also with the families in many cases.
Yeah, I think especially with girls, it's also something we experience in other organizations when they're sharing their experiences, that it's you actually need to work with the family, especially with parents as well, to kind of have the understanding that doing sports is actually very good for their well-being and their future as well. So yes. Thank you very much. So I'm gonna go now slowly to the closing. So I want to ask you, what are the three things that you have learned from your work with refugees and migrants, and well, basically all of the people that you work with in your organization?
The first thing I learned is that when you finish your social work studies, you think that, okay, I'm going to change the world and I'm a fresh social worker and I know everything. No, I think after the first month, you forget it and you have to change your attitude. And you have to think, okay, it's okay if I don't change the world. It's just I have to do everything from my best intentions, and that's completely enough. Also, you have to think, which is a bit related, have to think small, in small steps. It's like, it's okay if not the whole society accepting all the migrants and refugees, because everyone needs their own time and pace in this process. And the third thing is that the working hours are flexible and you have to be prepared for it, but it's also rewarding.
I can relate to many of them, actually. Yeah. Especially with the changing the world, right? Would be amazing to do it, but again, baby steps and one person at a time. Is there something else that you want to share? Specific message that you would like to share, or is there something that you haven't expressed during our conversation?
Maybe not a message. Maybe it's more like it's very important to have a good team around you. To have the same basic level of understanding. Since it's okay not to agree on everything, which is, I think that's what makes a group move forward. The positive that, how you say, when you don't fight, but have...
Yeah, but like not a tension, but like a disagreement. Yeah.
A positive way, which you disagree and then something good can come out from the disagreement. So it's like a driving force.
Yeah, critical maybe, no? Yeah,
or creative disagreement. Or
creative disagreement, that's a good one.
Creative disagreement. And but it's not a message or not a tip. It's just how we ended up that all of us... kind of socially sensitive, but it's like you cannot avoid this if you work in an organization who are working with marginalized people.
Yeah, basically we're just being human beings to human beings and treating others as human beings, how people should be. Okay, and then the last one, how can people support you? Like, can they, like, is there, do you have like donations or anything, or is it like, do you collaborate also in the Erasmus Plus project? Maybe if some organizations would like to work with you.
Yes, we are participating in Erasmus Plus programs, usually as partners, but we try to do this year to be coordinators. And we are searching for partners as well for this. On the other hand, we receive donations, not always financial donations, but equipment, and also on our website usually we put up the information what our players are in need, and people who find us and they find that part of the website, they can support us, or they support us. So
awesome, thank you. I'll make sure that we put the links as well there so people can find more information. I think this is a wrap up. Thank you very much for sharing everything. Very, very, I would say, very pleasant conversation and straight to the point. I appreciate it very much. And sharing the experiences and also the spirit and the passion. So thank you very much, Dora, for sharing. Hopefully I'll see you soon in some events or maybe working together in some projects.
Yes, thank you for the invitation.